All right, if you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at the first seven verses, but with it being Christmas time, we have a lot of Christmas movies in our house that we like to watch every year. Does anybody else? Just, you got a list of movies that you've got to make it through. You might have some. When I was growing up, A Christmas Story was on for 24 hours the day of Christmas. And then I watched that without being on TV and didn't have any of the edits or bleeps and realized it wasn't as good of a movie as I thought it was. But there are a lot of movies that we like to watch each year, some staples. But one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time, and some of you already know this and probably know where it's going, is A Charlie Brown Christmas. The song that we sang just a moment ago, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, is at the end of the movie. And we watched this the other night, and my kids said that's how they're going to sing, because if you ever notice, they just tilt their head back like this and start singing. So from now on, if you see them doing that while we're singing at church, just know it came from A Charlie Brown Christmas. If you have not seen it, I want to warn you that I'm about to spoil it for you. Charlie Brown is going on and on at the beginning to his friend Linus, how he just doesn't have the Christmas spirit, that he wants to have the Christmas spirit, but he doesn't. Despite the joy of the season, he still feels depressed. Linus recommends that Charlie Brown seek some psychiatric help. So he goes to see the resident psychiatrist, which is Linus's sister, Lucy. After trying to figure out what is wrong with Charlie Brown by asking some questions, he determines he has the fear of everything. But she decides what he needs to increase his Christmas spirit is to be the director of the Christmas play. I don't know about you, but a Christmas play with a person who is depressed at Christmas is probably not the best decision. Also, probably not the best reason to take your psychiatric help from a person, a child. Anyway, he is not happy with the atmosphere of the play. He thinks a Christmas tree will help. Now, this is a part of the story that I do not relate to, because they're looking for an aluminum tree. I don't know what that is. Is it a fake Christmas tree? Is it a tree that's actually made out of aluminum? I don't know what it is. So whatever he goes to get, he doesn't get what they want. He comes back with this most pitiful tree in the world. And to no surprise, the rest of the kids are not happy with the choice of tree. So in his frustration, he, not understanding what Christmas is about, yells, "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" Linus says, "Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about." Makes his way to the middle of the stage, says, "Lights, please," and proceeds to quote from Luke 2, "to inform Charlie Brown and everyone else that is there that Christmas is all about the birth of Jesus." This morning, we're going to look at the first seven verses of Luke 2. It's probably the most popular text about the birth of Jesus. Matthew mentions the birth of Jesus briefly after the angel's interaction with Joseph. Mark doesn't mention the birth of Jesus at all. He starts right with the ministry of Jesus. And John's birth story is part of a verse that says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So let's look at our passage together and see what we learn about the birth of Jesus. Starting in verse 1 of Luke chapter 2, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." Would you pray with me? Father, as we look at your word now, I pray that you would help us in this brief time to understand and focus on the meaning of Christmas and how that is found in the birth of your son, Jesus. And while gathering with family and opening presents and giving presents and all the other things that come with Christmas are good, The main thing is that Jesus was born, that the greatest gift ever was given to us. So, Lord, may we never forget that. So speak to us now through your word, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. So Augustus issued a decree for a census to be taken. And the significance of this fact is that Joseph and even Mary had to return to their ancestral home to register. So we talked about this a little bit on Sunday, but God sovereignly orchestrated the circumstances to get them to Bethlehem before Jesus was born. As we saw Sunday, Micah 5:2 says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." See, Bethlehem was to be the birthplace of the Messiah, and although Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth, they had to get to Bethlehem. So the sovereign Lord of all orchestrated all the events to take place so that the prophecy could be fulfilled. And it is in Bethlehem that the greatest event in all of history takes place. Now, this was my hook to get you to come back today, but I talked to you about on Sunday how I didn't understand how Luke could explain and describe the most profoundly significant event in all of history up to that point, the birth of Jesus, in startlingly simple, straightforward, unembellished language. He simply says that while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to give birth, and so she gave birth to her firstborn son. No angels appearing, no trumpet sounding, no voice from heaven announcing, nothing. Just a mother giving birth to her child. Yet the Creator was born as a creature. The Word of God came as a speechless baby. The most awesome event takes place in humble surroundings, and because of the census, there's no available rooms for travelers to stay anywhere in Bethlehem. So Joseph and Mary have to take shelter in a place that was used to shelter animals. And it is there that a young girl gives birth to her first child. No doctor, no midwife, no mother, just Joseph, and most likely some animals. And although we sing Silent Night, it was most likely anything but silent. A girl is giving birth. Sheep are baaing, and cows are mooing or lowing or whatever that means. Jesus is crying like every baby does when they are born. Joseph is trying pointlessly to comfort Mary. I mean, there's noise all around them. But in the midst of all of that, the Savior of mankind enters the world. Glory. And Mary takes him, wraps him up, swaddles him, and lays him in a feeding trough. Again, no angels appearing, no trumpet sounding, no voice from heaven announcing, nothing. Just as Luke says, a mother giving birth to her child. Christ is born. The Savior has come. It's obviously not like anyone would have thought, but our Savior is here. And so when we gather here together on Christmas Eve, we think about how Christmas is all about the birth of Jesus. Amen. Jesus was born at a specific time in history, within a specific family, and in a specific way, fulfilling the prophecies. Amen. Our hope has arrived. This is the hope of Christmas, that Jesus is here. But what does that mean for you and for your life? Well, if you are a Christian this morning, it means you have something to celebrate. Amen. Jesus was born. It also means that you can keep your focus on what Christmas is really all about. That getting together with family, eating good food, giving and receiving gifts, and everything else that goes along with this season is not what it's all about. They are good things, but they are not what it's all about. Christmas is all about Jesus. In fact, all of life should be all about Jesus. If you are not a Christian, it means that you can receive the greatest gift that was ever given. Jesus was born to save us. So let me personalize that. If you're not a Christian this morning, Jesus Christ was born to save you. What does that mean? That means that you, like everyone else, are a sinner in need of God's salvation. Because God is a holy God, and He cannot have sin in His presence. And His holiness demands that He punish sinners. But God, who is rich in mercy and who loves greatly, has offered you a way by His grace to escape His punishment.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
See, Jesus came to earth, lived a perfect, sinless life, something that you could not do, something that we, none of us, could do. He met God's standard of holiness. And then He grew up. We celebrate His birth, but the reason His birth is so special is because of what He grew up to do. And He grew up to die on a cross. And on that cross, He took the punishment for your sin and the wrath of God because of your sin upon Himself. And then we celebrate His birth and His death because of what happened 3 days later, and that was that He rose victorious over death and the grave. And He is now the one way to a right relationship with God. See, the Bible says that your sin earns you eternal punishment in hell, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus. And to be saved this morning, all you have to do is cry out to the Lord. As Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So for Christmas this year, you could receive the greatest Christmas gift of all, Jesus. Cry out to Him for salvation this morning. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus. Lord, our focus this Christmas season has been hope, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. God became flesh, lived a life we could not live, perfect and sinless, in our place, for us. Grew up living that life, only to die a death that we deserved. Taking the punishment that we deserved, taking Your wrath upon Himself that we deserved, so that we could have life with You. And then, Lord, rising victorious on the third day. God, we celebrate the birth of Jesus because You became flesh, but also because of what You did for us on this earth. So we celebrate today. We celebrate because of Jesus. Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know them, I pray that they would cry out to Jesus for salvation today. Lord, for those of us who know Him, let us rejoice this Christmas season. Today, tomorrow, as we gather with family throughout the rest of this time of year, God, and really for all the rest of our lives, let's just celebrate Jesus. We pray all of this in His name. Amen.